Sometimes Forex trading is a wild and woolly place to be. That's why Hugh's here, to pose your questions to Walter, the Naked Forex Guy. Hugh's got questions, and Walter's got the answers. Here at the Truth About FX Podcast.
Hey, Walter, somebody wrote in and asked, you know, I keep spending money on my education, so when am I going to start making money?
Yeah, so this, I understand this, I get it. This is a concern that people have, feeling like, okay, thinking that, okay, it's going to start working now. And it certainly depends on, you know, everyone's kind of in a different stage, in a different process. Some people pick up trading straight away within 6 months. Other people like me, you know, take 4 1/3 years to kind of break through that wall. You know, I mean, it just depends. Yeah. But the big thing here, when you're feeling helpless, like it's not going to get better, the big story here is you don't want to really compare yourself to other people. This is like a psychological hack. People often think, you know, oh, I'm never going to run as fast as Usain Bolt or whatever. Or I'm never going to be as good looking as, you know, that model or whatever. What you really need to do is you need to compare it against you. So you set out your goals based on you. And if you're a person who doesn't have a valid trading system that you believe in, and you get to the point where you've back tested enough and you have enough data, for example, in Forex Tester, that you do believe in it, you've made a step. You've made a step towards your goal. So if you can just break it down into little baby steps. So for example, with this trader, I would say to her, look, number one is, do you have your strategy? Okay, if not, you need to work on it, figure out what you believe about the markets and build it. Okay, now, yes, you have a strategy. Okay, next step, what do your data say about your strategy? Like, can you run it through Forex Tester? Can you take 300 trades? Can you find out what it looks like? How many currency pairs can you run it through? Can you get 50 trades per currency pair on 20 currency pairs? That's great. That's 1,000 trades. Now, what does that say? What do these data tell you? Plug that into the risk calculator. I know I keep hammering on that. You can go to the link on that and plug your data in there. Find out what your win rate is, your average winner, your average loser. And now you want to determine what percentage are you going to risk per trade, assuming you're using that fixed fractional method of risk management, and still avoid your major drawdown level that you don't want to hit. Okay, you know that? That's a big deal. A lot of traders go into trading. I literally got an email this week from a trader who basically lost his retirement account. And he was like, I wish I would have seen that calculator before. And I'm like, I'm with you, man. I get it. I wish I would have seen it before too. Like, he literally blew hundreds of thousands of dollars away. And he told me, he said, if I had seen that calculator before, I would have known that I was headed into those deep drawdowns. I wouldn't have had to go through that freakout period. So that's another step. So step one, find out what you should be trading, what you believe in. Start testing it. Then start moving. If you want to go straight from away from demo and go straight into a small money account, do that. But the thing is, at every step, you need to reward yourself and say, I've made it. You know, who cares about what other traders are doing? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you've made those three steps to trading a system that you believe in on a live account. And so everyone gets impatient. Everyone gets upset and wishes that it happened last year. I get it. But the only way you're really going to make progress is to do two things. Compare your progress to you and break everything down into small baby steps and just build up your confidence that way. And when you get stuck, you can ask somebody, right? Like ask somebody, like if you're in the forum, you ask somebody in the forum, or if you know other traders, or just try and connect with somebody online. If you can find someone halfway nice on the yeah. free forums, do yeah. that. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. I'm always happy to connect the members in my forum to another trader, so you have someone to talk to, and every week, you know, and that's a really valuable thing. So even just having that accountability partner, that can be the next step after you go live. So you just break it down, these baby steps, and if you can do that, you can see your goal. It's so frustrating when you feel like, I want to quit my job, I want to be making X amount of dollars per month or per week or whatever it is, and I'm sitting here and I don't even have any Forex Tester data. And that's really frustrating. So you just need to break it down to small steps, reward yourself as you go up the ladder, and compare your progress to you, not to anybody else, not to any market wizard or anything crazy like that. It's just what you're doing. And then you'll feel good about yourself. And celebrate it, you know. Tell your husband or your wife or whatever, look what I did, look what's going. This is awesome. It's looking really good. You know, that's the kind, or your trading accountability partner, whoever it is. You know, just talk about this and reward yourself as you make your way up the ladder. That's really kind of the secret. So it's not anything, you know, mind bending. It's just making sure the focus is in the right spot, which is getting to that next step, that next level, focusing on what you are doing and celebrating your little successes along mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think also it's worth mentioning that in the beginning, especially if you took a lot of education, sometimes maybe you try to do everything at the same time. And I don't know, maybe you can talk about that. Like, maybe you should just focus on one thing at a time and see that to completion.
Yeah, that's so true. You're absolutely right. Like, sometimes I think psychologically, we feel like once we get this trading system, we're set. Or once we read this book, it's all going to be laid out for us and we're done. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. And so what happens is you kind of, it's real easy in the trading world, and the brokers make it easy too, for you to get shiny new object syndrome, where it's like, okay, this, you know, oh no, this one's better. Oh no, that system's better. And, you know, if that's the case, you just need to pare it back. And that might be just focusing on one system, one trader that you identify with, and just going for that. And whoever that is, doesn't matter who it is. I don't care who it is. Find that one, you know, that one sort of roadmap and follow it and just do that as best you can. Like, one of the things that I'm fascinated by is how it seems to me, it's so interesting, the people who end up doing really, really well at this, oftentimes they're like, you know, I'm talking about the guys I know, right? The traders that I know. Okay. So, I mean, there are certainly other traders out there that I don't have nothing to do with, but the traders that I know who do really well, oftentimes what they do is they kind of, it's almost like they're the teacher's pet. Like, they're at the front of the class and they're always asking questions and they're always kind of just following everything. You know what I mean? I'm sure they have their own tweak on it, on their strategy or whatever, or how they test or what they look at or all that. That's fine. But it's almost like they're trying to be the best student possible. Right, and they're just going with it, and in a lot of ways it simplifies it so much, and it reminds me of when I took this trading class. My friend was getting me into forex trading, and he said you should go and take this class. And so I went and took this class. It was like a week long class. He was saying when he took the class, he had already traded lots of different instruments, but he had just started getting into currencies. And he was telling me that there was a guy in his class, and he said, you know, of all the traders in the class, there's one guy in his class who was the best trader, it was looking like. And he said the reason why was because the guy wasn't very smart. And he just did whatever the teacher told him. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, that's brilliant. You know, sometimes you can get in your own way. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah. He's like, this dude, I'm telling you, man. He's like, hey, Walter, he wasn't very smart. He you look at him, you go, oh, this guy's got no chance. He said that was the best guy. He was doing the best because he was just, whatever the teacher said, he's like, okay. And he just did it. You're like, price goes up, I buy, you know, that sort of thing. It was just like so interesting because we can overthink these things sometimes. And so, yeah, so I think that's there's something to be said for simplicity too, and just focusing in on one thing. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. That's funny. I spoke to a guy once who used to teach, I think it was high school kids trading. And they were just paper trading or whatever, but he said a similar thing where the kids with the worst grades in the class were the best traders.
Wow, so interesting.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess there's one more roadblock that I kind of see with this also.
Yeah.
I see in other traders at least. It's like when you've tested one system and it's profitable, but not profitable enough. So what is like profitable enough in your opinion?
Well, like in what, which metric, or like what's your outcome, like what's your, what, when you say, what are you looking at?
I guess a lot of people look at, like, you know, they backtest the system for like 10 years and it returns 20%, and they're like, oh, you know, 2% a year isn't going to do it for me.
Right. Okay. Well, I will put a link in the show notes for this episode. Like, the compounding thing is amazing, right? So if you for there's a couple of different things I would say. One is, if you like are making 2% and you're compounding, you'll be surprised at how quickly it ramps up. Number two is you can certainly take that strategy and change the risk on it. So change the position sizing. What happens if you take that same strategy and let's say it has a profit target. I don't know if it does or whatever, but has a profit target. the market goes 50% of the way to the target, you take another position, maybe half the size, the original positions move to break even or whatever. Like sometimes those little tweaks like that, they can make a huge difference in that. Or like, I mean, we talked about this before. What if you have a winning trade, okay, with this strategy, you take the winnings from this individual trade, take those winnings, add that to the normal risk that you'll have on the next trade. If it's a winner, what do you end up with? If it's a winner, you've really multiplied your winnings on this second trade because you've added more risk because you've added those winnings from that previous winner plus the normal amount that you're risking on any given trade. If it's a loser, then you look at your last trade, your previous trade is a break-even result, and the current trade is a loser. So, you know, in looking at this, like, it's a big deal because if you have a, let's say you have a 2R strategy. So for every 1% you're risking, you make 2%. So in that first trade, you made 2%. So what are you going to risk on the second trade? You're going to risk 3%. If you win on the second trade, you make 6%, right? Because you're risking 3. Plus, you already made 2% on the last trade. So you're making 6%. Plus, you made 2% on the previous trade. So in two trades, instead of you made 8% instead of making the normal 4% that you would make. You literally doubled your returns. Now, the downside of that is that normally if you had a win-loss situation, you would have made 2%, you would have lost 1%, you would have been up 1%. But in this situation, you're down 1% if you win on the first trade and lose on the second one. So, you know, these sorts of things can completely change the equity curve of your strategy just by doing that. So I would definitely look into ways of improving the winners. That's really where the gold is. People get stuck on trying to improve the entries and filters and all that. I don't think that's usually not the most fertile area. It's usually somehow adding to your winners or making those winners bigger. That's usually where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. Now, in this situation, I mean, I don't know if it's true that they're making 20% over 10 years. If that's like one market or whatever, like if it's one market, then obviously the simple answer is, well, what happens if you trade 37 markets? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. Right. But it just depends on if that's true, that that's all you get out of 37 markets, then definitely look at position sizing. Definitely look at, you know, try to answer this question. How do I make my winners bigger? That's really what it's about. And if you can go down that road, I think you're going to find some really interesting ways of doing that.
Okay, awesome. That's a lot of great information. Thanks, Walter.
Thank you.